This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We come to this one. The first part takes long because Tawheed is very, very, very important, right? Everything is important, but this is, rest of it is really, we go through this quickly, inshallah. The second one is the belief in Malaika, belief in the angels. This is part of the belief in Al-Ghaib, the unperceivable. We believe as Muslims that there are angels. These angels are as Allah created them. We know that some of them have wings because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ajniyatin Masna wa Thulasa wa Raba. We believe that these are angels, are creatures created from a luminous energy. For want of another word, we say light. What exactly it is, we don't know. This is from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the function of the angels? The function of the angels is to carry out the orders of Allah. Simple. Whatever Allah orders, the angels do it. The angels have no free will. The angels just do what they have been ordered to do. Right? Among the angels, and the greatest of them is Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel. And among his jobs was to bring wahi, was to bring revelation to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also all the prophets. He did other things, but this is one of his major jobs. He's also a Rasul. And there are, of course, many ayat which talk about the angels. There are angels which are responsible for recording our deeds. What are they called? Angels who record our deeds? Munkir, Nakir are also angels, but they are in a different place. Angels record our deeds on these sides. What are they called? Learning is important, huh? Kiraman Katibin. So who are Munkir and Nakir? They are the two you will meet in the grave. Different angels. Munkir and Nakir are the ones we meet in the grave. And they will ask you, what will they ask you? What are the questions in the grave? Man Rabbuk. Who is your Rabb? Who did you worship? Ma dinuk, what was your religion? What did you follow? And what do you say about the man who was sent among you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Three questions of the grave. Everybody will be asked. And everybody will have to answer. So different kind of angels. There are angels, of course, who appointed. What is the name of the angel on the gate of Jahannam or the gate of the hellfire? What's the name of that angel? Malik, Jazakallah. What is the name of the angel on the gate of Jannah? Ridwan, correct. Ridwan, Jazakallah khair, right? So different angels for different things. What is the angel that every single one of us will meet? There is one angel which everyone will meet. Malakul Maut, not Mikhail, Malakul Maut. The angel of death. Every single human being who lives will meet Malakul Maut. Mikhail is also an angel. Israfil is another angel. And who is Israfil? The one who will blow the sur, right? Jazakallah khair. So these are our belief in the angels. Some things we know about them, some things we don't know about them, alhamdulillah. But it is important, it's part of our creed that we believe in the angels. If somebody says there are no angels, then this person has denied one part of the creed. Yes, Dulkarnain. Dulkarnain asked if Iblis is a fallen angel. That's not an Islamic concept, it's a Christian concept. Iblis is jinn. Kana minal jinn. Allah said very clearly in the Quran. Iblis was from the jinn. Or was he? He is from the jinn. He's not an angel at all. Right? So, anything else? Anybody? Okay. Then we come to the belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many books. Some of them we know the names. We know Zabur, which was the book that was sent on who? Dawood alayhi salam. Then we have Surah of Ibrahim, sent on Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then we have the Torah, sent to whom? Musa alayhi salam, Moses. Then we have Injil, sent to whom? Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. Then we have the Quran, which is sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these five books we know. Were there other books? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He sent. So He sent many books. He sent many, many, many prophets. 25 of them have been mentioned in the Quran, which include, of course, Jesus and Moses and so on and so forth, but also others. But did only 25 prophets come? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said more than 100,000 prophets came throughout the ages, from the time Adam alayhi salam came on this earth till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last one, not till today. Huh? Please understand that. Don't say till not today. Till last one. The last and final. This part of our belief that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final prophet after whom there is no prophet, no messenger. There will be teachers. There will be scholars. There will be people who will invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no one has the level of a prophet or messenger. So until then, hundreds of, over 100,000, and Allah knows best. The Quran is the last and final of the testaments, last and final of the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe as Muslims, and this is very important to understand clearly, we believe as Muslims that the Quran al-Kareem is the actual speech of Allah. It is Allah speaking, right? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed that. And the most beautiful example, for example, I will stay with Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Say this, for example, the people asked him, who is Allah? Right? So Allah is saying to him, say, Allah is Al-Ahad. Allah is one. Right? So if you ask me something, and say, Sister Naz, I say, so if you ask me, who is Sister Naz? So Sister Naz tell me, tell them that I am the principal of the Maktab in ISWM. So what will I tell you? Tell me. What will I say?
Whatever I told you.
But verbalize that. How will I say that?
She said.
She said, right? She said, or she is. Will I say, tell them? No. But Rasulullah SAW did that. Allah is saying, Qul, say, O Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah is one. What does he say to the people? Qul hu Allahu ahad. He does not say, Allahu yaqul, hu al-ahad. No. He said, say, Allah is ahad. Now, this is one of the many, many, many examples we have of the truthfulness and the integrity of the messenger in conveying the message. He did not change anything. He did not move anything. For example, the famous, and there are many others like this, but the famous story of who was blind. He was a blind Sahabi. And he came to Rasulullah in Masjid Nabawi Sharif. When Rasulullah was talking to some of the chiefs of Quraysh. So this is a blind man. He can't see the Nabi alayhi salam. He came, he had some question to ask him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam turned towards him and he slightly frowned. Did the blind man see him frowning? Obviously he can't see, he's blind. Allah revealed Quran. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. Allah said the Nabi turned around and frowned when the blind man came to see him. And maybe the blind man would have gained more from your attention and speaking than these people you are speaking to. So now think about this. This matter refers to and relates to one incident which happened personally to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, firstly. Secondly, that blind man was not affected by the frown of the Prophet ﷺ because he didn't even see it. But when Allah reveals Quran on this and calls out this matter, did Rabbi ﷺ hide it? Did he say, no, this is my personal matter with me and God, why should I tell you? No. Openly. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this matter to me. So many, many incidents, alhamdulillah. So we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we believe in the Quran because this is the actual speech of Allah. People ask you, sometimes they might ask you, they say, well, you say, what about the Quran? Isn't it out of date? Out of date, right? Isn't it out of date? It's 7th century, we are 21st century. Should it not be changed? What's the answer? Can the Quran be changed? Why not? Well, I can change it and show you. You're saying I'll protect it, but I can reprint a Quran. I can add verses in it and remove some verses. People memorized it. Oh, sure, that's. But I might say, well, you know, from now on, this is the Quran, new version. Huh? Doesn't have flaws. No, that's the Quran itself. I'm saying I can rewrite it. No, anybody can do it. Why can't it be done? What happens if I do it?
I will be responsible.
Oh, that's when I go to Allah. I mean, that's forget that. I'm talking right here. If I am changing it here, why can't I do it? If I change it, what happens? Yes. It is not the word of God. Absolutely. I have changed it. It is no longer the Quran. Right? It's not. Why can't you change the Quran? Same reason why you can't change one of my books. Copyright violation. The author didn't authorize that. Right? Simple as that. It is no longer the Quran. May Allah bless you. What's your name? Jazakallah khair. Very nice. Beautiful answer. It is no longer the book of Allah. The book of Allah is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. That is the actual speech of Allah. If somebody says, why can't we change the Quran? Because I say, copyright violation. Can't do it, boss. Right? You're not the author of the Quran. How can you change it? You're not the author. Cannot be changed. It does not need to be changed because the one who gave us this book is not bound by the boundaries of time and space. He is the creator of time and space. For us, there is a past, and for us, there is a present, for us, there is a future. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, present, past, and future is the same. So the Quran, alhamdulillah, is good for all people till the end of time. Does not need to be changed. What needs to be done is for us to live by the Quran. Then you will have a very, very beautiful world in which to live. For those who believe in it, as well as for those who do not believe in this. Understand this very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not compel somebody to believe in Islam. No. How will life in this world be for someone who does not believe in Islam? Very nice. After they die, when they go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is between them and God. Oh, I never believed in you. All right, so now this is... No, very good question. Why should I switch from any religion to Islam? Because what will I gain? In this life itself, what you will gain is if you really believe in the truth, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get a huge amount of peace of mind. That all your stress will go away, fears will go away, you will have complete tranquility and so on and so forth. You might say, well, you know, I can still get that through Buddhism. I can still get that by meditation. I will be the last person in the world to claim that only Muslims are tranquil. No, they're not. I have friends who are non-Muslim, who are very, very tranquil people. Right? And I have Muslims who are not tranquil people. Who are all full of all kinds of stuff. The point is, it's not only about this life. This life is a piece in our entire existence. We began in the ilm of Allah, when Allah is in Allah's knowledge. We came into the Alam al-Arwah. There's a whole book of mine and a series of lectures. I'm not going into that now. You can listen to that. And then we came into this world. We'll be in this world for a short time. Then we go from here into Barzakh, and from Barzakh on the Day of Judgment, and then into Jannah, inshallah. So this is a small piece. So Islam is not about this small piece. Islam is about the whole journey. So what happens after I die? If I die without Islam, if I die without believing in Allah, if I die without worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously on the Day of Judgment when I go before Allah, I have nothing to take from Allah. There's nothing there for me. That is what you will get. If you switch and come into Islam, there will be things for you to gain before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which today we cannot. This is again the ghaib. I cannot explain that to you because I have not seen it, you have not seen it. But it is there. We know it is there. This is our belief. That on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, Allah will forgive us and then we will go into Jannah. Otherwise, we go into the hot place. Simple as that. It's a very simple. Why must, if I'm a good person, yeah, sure, you're a good person. You will get the reward of being a good person in this world. But reward from Allah, it's like I wash your car and I go to him for the payment. Right? Why will he pay me? You washed his, you know, he'll go to him. You washed his car. Why? So that is why you must gain. It's not only about this life. It's about the life, everlasting life. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم